The words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, Son of Man and of God, by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields. When the paralyzed man was brought to Christ on a stretcher by his friends, St. Mark gives a more detailed description of how this was done, Christ said to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." This statement caused a stir among the listeners, including some scribes, men learned in the law, who were there to monitor Jesus' sayings and actions. "This man blasphemeth," they said to themselves, no doubt recalling that the book of Leviticus said, "He who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death." St. Mark, again, including more details than Matthew, says they also asked themselves the question, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" God would forgive the repentant sinner, they believed, and as Psalm 105 teaches, but it was wrong to say in a specific case that anyone was forgiven. The Lord Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to them, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house.' And he arose and departed to his house." Through the words of his enemies, the gospel writers are telling us who Jesus, the Son of Man, is. The Christian reader recognizes a strong assertion of the character of this Son of Man who has come among the people of Palestine. If God alone can forgive sin, then who is this who says, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee"? Mark begins his gospel with these words, which he probably meant to be the title of his work, "The Beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." This story is evidence to back up that claim, an example of the Son of God at work. In the fourth gospel, St. John states very directly who Jesus is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And, says John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So it is no wonder that Jesus was able to assure the people, the paralytic, that his sins were forgiven. Matthew, Mark, and Luke put this truth about Christ in different terms, but there was no doubt in their minds and hearts of his question. Someone more than a mere man or human being is here in this house in Capernaum. with people, both friends and enemies, crowded around to hear what he has to say. By using the title Son of Man and speaking of himself, the Lord is reminding us of his humanity. The author of Psalm 8 looked at the magnitude of the creation, especially the heavens, and wrote, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" The phrase Son of Man is a synonym. Synonym. For human being, as applied to the Virgin Mary, it is an assertion of his full humanity, a reminder that he was born of the Virgin Mary, a human mother, a descendant of the house of David, according to the flesh. It was also a claim that he was a prophet, because the phrase Son of Man is used more than 90 times in the book of Ezekiel as a form of address when God is speaking to the prophet. "And he said to me, Son of Man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. Here is Christ." Here in Christ is the greatest of all of the prophets, and the fulfillment of all prophecy. In the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, in a lesson read on Ascension Day, are these words: "As I looked, thrones were placed, and one that was Ancient of Days took his seat. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." It is this heavenly Son of Man who is here in this house in Capernaum, bringing the forgiveness of sins and the healing of body and soul. When in the last week of his earthly life, Christ told the great parable of the judgment, he began it with these words: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the thrones, on his glorious thrones. The Son of Man will come as our judge at the last day. But first he came with forgiveness. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Some could not accept what he was doing, but most of the people there marveled and glorified God, who had given such power unto men. The Son of Man gave to his followers, to his church, the privilege and responsibility of carrying on the ministry of the forgiveness of sins, to assure those who come to Christ in repentance and faith that their sins are forgiven. He spoke to Saint Peter and to all the apostles in terms of binding and loosing. "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. On the evening of the day of the resurrection, the risen Christ spoke to even more specific terms to them. Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to him. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So this glorious ministry, instituted by the Son of Man, has continued. It is carried out in a number of ways. It is still a scandal to some, but those who have received the benefits know some of the joy expressed in the 103rd Psalm. Look how wide also the east is from the west. So far hath he set our sins from us.